Those last two words caught my attention. Consuming fire. Sounds scary, doesn't it? We read the Old Testament, and of course Paul is speaking of Old Testament events in all of these things that he talks about with Moses and the mountain and the shaking and the terror. The powerful God of the Old Testament, the angry sometimes God of the Old Testament, the punishments and woes that the people suffered, but also of God in His new aspect as the Father of Jesus who comes with our forgiveness and salvation. Well, that forgiveness and salvation was available to those in the Old Testament too. It's just that many of them did not follow God's instructions, and so they wandered away from that forgiveness and salvation that was promised. We too wander away from that forgiveness and salvation that is promised. We get caught up in worldly stuff. One of my pleasant memories of my trip up to Virginia was my brother-in-law and I watching 2012. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but I'm sure all of you have heard the rumors, the predictions that 2012 is the end of the world. 12/21, 2012 is the last day of the Mayan calendar, and that this is the conjunction of the planets, and the earth is going to spin on its magnetic poles, and things are going to shift, and California is going to fall. I've been listening for California to fall into the ocean for years now, and it hadn't happened yet. All those crazy people over there, you would think maybe, but you know, it's still there. And the movie was great. The special effects were awesome. Shirley was asleep on the floor and her snoring went right along with the, you know, Pacific Ocean sucking the whole west coast of California into the sea. And we were just having a great time. But when I read the scripture, I thought, how caught up we get in those things of this world that scare us, that horrify us, that worry us, that trouble us, that make us wonder what's going to happen next. Because see, our God is a consuming fire. He will burn up the stuff of the world that is not to His liking. He will burn the chaff, as it says in other places in the scripture. He will burn the earthly stuff, but the divine stuff goes on and on. We have a God-given spirit. God brought us into this world. God loves us. God cares about us. God cares for us. And yes, He will let our bodies die. He will let that physical part of us be consumed with decay and rot and whatever else you want to call it. Everything earthly comes to an end. But just as we use fire to take the ore that we dig up out of the ground, rocks, dirt, and burn away, melt away the stuff that we don't want, leaving the pure silver or the pure gold or the pure minerals that we do want. So God takes and burns away those parts of us that are of no use to Him, leaving the good stuff, the pure stuff, the divine stuff, the love, the peace, the joy that He offers us. We need to collect that, not the stuff of the world. I have friends and have had friends who thought the world was ending, and they would stockpile food and they would stockpile weapons and they would build bomb shelters I remember some folks that had a bomb shelter back in the 60s. I remember really well the Cuban Missile Crisis because I was just getting big enough where I could read the paper, and I opened the paper that day, and here's Cuba and here's Tallahassee, and there were circles for the short-range missiles and the medium-range missiles, and we were inside that medium-range missiles. We didn't even have to have a long-range missile for them to get to us in Tallahassee. And I was like, ooh, wait a minute. Where is my bomb shelter? Well, it's not bomb shelters we need. It's soul shelters. It's not protection from weapons, armor, those kinds of things that we need. It's protection from sin and our own self-destruction, our own self-destructive tendencies, our own sinful natures that we need. We don't need to be protected from worldly destruction, because worldly destruction is going to happen regardless, whether we make it through 2012 or not. Something's going to get us. What matters is what we do with our spirit, not what we do with that earthly stuff. Now, we have a responsibility. We've been given life. We've been given a body. We've been given this earth. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to do good with it. But ultimately, it'll all end. It'll all be gone. But there is that eternal part of us, which we believe goes on and on. Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Yes, I believe that. Will they be there waiting for us when we get to them pearly gates? Well, I don't know if they're pearly like earthly pearly, but, you know, obviously somebody had some vision that made them feel like they were awesome, white, beautiful, wondrous, glowing, shiny opportunity to get to that better place. We want to live better. We want to be better. We want to do better. But we tend to measure that betterness? Ooh, that's not a very good word, is it? I'm sorry. We tend to measure ourselves in terms of earthly stuff. How much stuff have I got? How many years do I have left? How much can I do? How strong am I? How beautiful am I? How popular am I? How wealthy am I? All those things. But those aren't very good measurements when measured against eternity. Love, family, care, peace, joy, those are good measurements when measured against eternity. I had the wondrous opportunity to be able to share with my family the burying of my father, the service to them of serving them as the person who did the memorial funeral for my dad. And the thing that struck me, the thing that I brought home, wasn't just the pictures and the family concerns and the seeing the people. That was important too. But it was those things that I heard people say about him. What a good guy he was. How much they relied on him. How much he was trustworthy. How much he was worth to them as a friend, as a coworker, as a brother, as a person in their lives. Those things go on. Those things can't be destroyed. Those things are eternal. He wasn't just the body that we put in the ground. He wasn't just the human being that walked to this earth. But he was the spirit that filled that humanity with honor, with joy, with love, with caring. The way he cared for other people was what people remembered. The way he shared with other people was what people remembered. Not what he shared, but how he shared. How he cared. Those things matter. And so Paul here speaks to the Hebrew people who have that Old Testament perspective and are expecting those earth-shaking, what's the book that's out now, Left Behind, 2012, End of the World, apocalyptic stuff. That's just stuff, folks. It's all going to go sometime. I don't know if it's 2012 or, 20 centuries later. Not my job to know. It is my job to know that what matters right here, right now, is whether He is in our hearts and whether His being in our hearts changes our hearts so that we can be different towards the people that we meet. If having God in my life doesn't make my life different, then I'm missing something. If having a knowledge of His teachings and His presence doesn't change the way I see things and change the way I think about things and change the way I feel about things, then I'm missing something. I didn't see my dad from the time I was 6 until I was 32. 26 years, I missed out on having him around. I had other men in my life who helped me become a man, but I missed having him. And I didn't know what I was missing until I decided to go to D.C. and meet him and get acquainted. And when I did, there was an emptiness in my life that was filled. I couldn't have defined it before, said what was missing. I couldn't define it very well afterwards and said what was not missing anymore. But, it was just nice to have a dad. It was nice to know who he was. It filled something in me that had been kind of a question mark. And I had 30 years with him, and so many people who knew our history came to me afterwards and said, I'm so sorry. I know it must be really hard for you because you didn't have him in your life all that much time. And I said, no, it's really wondrous to me that I did have him in my life for those 30 years that we had together. Because so many times families that are torn apart never get to reconcile, never get to get back together, never get to know each other, never get to find out who that missing person is. If I had waited until he died, then that question mark would have remained for me for the rest of my life. I was greatly blessed to have those 30 years to get to know him. I wish I'd spent more time with him. Don't we all wish we'd spend more time with our family? But I'm grateful for the time I had. I wish we could have done more stuff. I wish I could have learned some of his woodworking skills. He was quite a carpenter. I'm lucky if I can nail two boards together and get them to stay together at all. But it wasn't what he did. It's not what we do. It's how we do it. When we do things with love, when we do things with the love of Christ, when we do things with the love of God in our hearts, stuff just seems to work better. Our life in this world seems to work better. Yeah, we're going to end. Yeah, we're going to die. All that stuff that we value, including the cream cup, is going to come apart, is going to get broken, is going to be damaged, is going to not be able to be perfect. And sometimes we can stick things back together, and sometimes there's those little pieces that are always going to be missing because they just went somewhere, turned to dust. I don't know. But the fact that we care about it enough to stick it back together and use the glue of love and care that God has given us means that that can go on. Not perfect. Not like it was, but it can still go on. Amen. Our job is to live in this messed up world with all the things that's wrong with it and do what we can to use the glue of God, the glue that God gives us, to put our lives and help other people put their lives in the best order that we can. It's not the earthly stuff that matters. It's the stuff of the heart, the stuff of the spirit, the stuff that goes on forever. Our little church here seems really old because it was founded in 1834. But if we went over to Europe and looked at stuff that happened in 1066, we'd think, oh, our little church isn't very old at all. It's all stuff. It's all earthly stuff. And it's the divine stuff that we want to hold on to. It's the divine stuff that we want to search out. It's the divine stuff, wondrous stuff of God. Something about that name, Jesus, helps us be better people. Something about that love of God helps us to be able to love better. Something about that peace that passes understanding helps us to be at peace with those things that we can never reconcile. God has given us all those opportunities to make the world a better place. We have a responsibility to learn how to use those tools so that we can glue the lives that we meet back together, so that we can glue our lives back together, so that we can glue ourselves together into a family and into a kingdom that one day we'll meet in that perfect and heavenly city of Jerusalem on that mountain of Zion. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. But I'm also working to try and make it as good as I can here for those people that I love here that I see hurting and struggling and working and trying to make it better too. Will you join me to try and make the world a better place? Will you join me in trying to mend the broken hearts? Will you join me in trying to give hope to the hopeless spirits? That's what we're here for. That's why they call us the church. Amen.